Well, I am thankful for this opportunity to be here. Been here since Wednesday night, and I've enjoyed every service since. It's been absolutely amazing. Even tonight, with the message that Brother Harden preached, it was exactly what we needed to hear. And tonight, I don't have a specific verse that I'm going to read, but I am going to point out a passage of Scripture, if that's going to be okay. It's in Luke chapter 19. It's talking about the talents, and this was talked about before on Wednesday night, but it really deals with what I'm going to talk about tonight in my testimony. And, well, I guess anywhere's best place to start in a testimony is from the beginning, so I guess is where I'm going to start. My testimony starts one night. I talked to Brother Livingston, my pastor. I told him I felt the calling to preach. And he sat me down and he talked to me and he gave me some really good advice. And at the end of it, he said, "How about me and you next couple weeks or however long it takes, we're just going to pray about this until you're 110% sure." So I believe it was the following Friday, Brother Joshua Teague, he came and he preached a youth service. And that night, that's what I was mainly praying about. I had to know because it was eating away at me not knowing. And that night I really felt the calling to go and preach, and that's when I told Brother Livingston, and he kind of helped me from there to go on. And I'm a skip ahead to this year, 2019. I've been really struggling, and I ended up getting out of church, just like this brother said. I was really discouraged, and I ended up getting out of church. And I knew I had called to preach when it initially happened, but I had convinced myself that it was just my feelings that led me to that conclusion. And I said, it wasn't God's will. It was what I wanted. So, I didn't have anything else planned for my life, and I didn't know what else to do. So, I decided to join the military. I was going to sign up, and that was my plan. As soon as I turned 18, I was gone. And I think 2-3 weeks ago, I was told that, no, Navy didn't want me. And that hurt. I mean, as any rejection would happen, that would hurt. And throughout this time, I think I had been out of church for about 2 months. And about this time, I'd gotten countless phone calls and messages, and I've met up with different people and talked, and they've invited me back to church. And the Monday before I came back to church, I was really discouraged because I had just been told no, and I thought to myself, well, what do I do now? I mean, if anything else, I should be able to join the military. I mean, I was just so confused and didn't know where to go. So I contacted Brother Livingston, and I asked if we could meet up and talk, because that's the only thing that I knew to do. And last thing I knew to do, go talk to Brother Livingston and see what to do, really. And that next Friday, that morning, we got up and talked. Now, I'm thankful I did, because I got everything out that I needed to say. I told him the truth. Even if it wasn't what Brother Livingston wanted to hear, it was the truth. And he said, well, the best thing for you to do now would be coming to church. And that night, y'all may or may not know him. I can't remember his name either. Derek Stewart. He came and preached the youth service. And I said, well, I'll probably go. And throughout that day, about four or five people had messaged me or called me or just personally asked me, hey, are you coming tonight? And I said, maybe, maybe. And about, I'm going to say, 15, 20 minutes before they were supposed to leave for service, my folks asked me, and I said, no, I'm not going. And I thought about it, and I thought about it. About 5 minutes before, I raced up to my room, got dressed, and came back down, and said, I'm going. And I'm glad I did, too. And I did not plan on what happened in that service. I was going to go see how it went, and if I didn't like how it was going, I was just not going to come back, honestly. And he, Brother Derek Stewart, he talked about the stereotypes that night, and he talked about how stereotypically young people will get in and out, and it's kind of a wishy-washy kind of situation. That's how it was ever since. I would halfway come at myself. I was, like his brother said, I was lukewarm. And I said, I cannot do that anymore. I wasn't planning on going to the altar, but that night it was a general altar call. And I went to the altar, and sure enough, I couldn't get up from the altar. And I'd prayed, and I'd prayed, and I'd prayed. And I'd finally thought to myself, I was like, I have to get saved tonight. If it's not tonight, then it's probably not going to happen. And God came through. That Friday night, God came through. It was like an electric shock through my body without all the pain. It just surged through me. And I got up and started running. And sure enough, everybody else in the church started running. And it turned out to be an amazing service. And it was April the 26th, 2019. I was able to put in my books that I got saved. And that's just, it's been amazing ever since. And, well, like this brother said, I was praying last night. Because even though I was saved, I was still confused. And I didn't know where I was supposed to go. Because I didn't know if I was supposed to preach, because I felt like I let down God. So I got to praying. And this brother right here, I don't recall your name. That's it. But he came and he was praying with me. And we have not spoken words other to each other than hi or how do you do. So he knows we have not had a personal conversation, so we don't know too much about each other. But he came to me while I was praying, and he said, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to say anything out of line. And he said that God spoke to him and said that he still has a calling in my life. And as far as I know, he has not known anything about that. And to know that God still had a calling in my life, honestly, that made me a little bit more confused. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do now? Where do I go from this? And I think I kept praying until it was about 11 o'clock at night, and there was a group of men around me, and they encouraged me. This isn't God that's confusing you. This is the devil. And I know what I need to do. And they helped me on my way, and I just thank God for what he's done for me and what he's done on my life. And how great he is. I just thank the Lord.
God still moves. God still works. He still cares about his children. Amen. This time, have Brother Nathan Welch come and share what's on his heart.
Thank God for his goodness and his mercy to me. He's been so good to me, and I didn't know I was going to be called up here. I thought he'd ask me down there to just stand and testify. It's a little easier down there when you can say, I thank God for he saved me, and sit back down. But I'm glad to be in service. I'm glad to be in the house of God. I could be in a lot of other places if it had not been for the Lord. But I'm so thankful that he saved me. And the song says, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why, because my sins are gone. When I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. And I'm so thankful because I couldn't do nothing about my sin. I tried. I fought and I tried this and I tried that and I just couldn't do it. But I'm so thankful I found a man who told me he could take care of it for me. He told me he shed his blood for me. And now I can go on my way to heaven. Now I have freedom. Like the brother preached this morning, freedom to live for God. I don't have to worry about the condemnation anymore because he took it away from me. He covered my sins and washed me clean. And now I can live for him. I got to thinking about that verse in the Bible when Jesus is about to be crucified and Pilate's trying to get the people to not do it. And he washes his hands. And he says, his blood is not, it's not upon me, basically. And they said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And I wasn't there screaming that day to crucify him. But when I was born and I was born into sin, as I got older, my actions screamed, crucify him, because I could not keep from sin. And even though I wasn't there doing that, my actions, as I said, it would have put me in that crowd. If I was there that day, I would have been there yelling the same thing. But I'm so thankful that God saved me. He brought me up out of sin and placed me upon a solid rock. And he established my goings. And I couldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the Lord. He's been so good to me. And listening to Brother Harden preaching really got me to thinking. Like I said, I didn't have much planned to say because I expected to be down there. But it reminded me about when I felt like the Lord called me to come over here. And I really felt like I should share a little bit about that. And I would have been about 21 years old. I met my wife, then girlfriend, or not even my girlfriend at the time, but I met her in California. That's where I'm from. And just random circumstances, I guess, that brought us together is the Lord, really. And I felt like I needed to marry her. I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And she was going to move to California, and that was just going to be that, because that's what happens. And so I said a few things about it. And I told her she needed to pray about it because she did. And but that's probably about how I said it too. And I really never even took it into thought to pray about it for myself. And because I knew the Lord wanted us to get married, and I knew that was probably what I should do. And is that she would come over where I was at. And the Lord, she asked me, she said, okay, but can you promise me you'll pray about it too? And I said, of course, I will. And so I had to pray about it. And the Lord started dealing with me. And I didn't like it. It's harder to go that far. It's a lot further to go cross country. But I realized that a lot of that, I was being foolish. And I don't want to take too much time. I was just being foolish and not praying about it. And when I really started to pray about it, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to come. I mean, just almost as soon as I started praying about it. And as I said, I wasn't too happy about it, but I started talking to people about it. And of course, your family don't want you to go. And of course, your pastor, I was already preaching at the time. He didn't say don't go. He wanted me to obey the Lord, but of course, he would prefer that I would stay there and help him. And they all encouraged me to obey the Lord. And I remember a message being preached by my pastor about Abraham being called to a place where he didn't know where he would go. And I really felt like the Lord told me that that's going to be you. And of course, I knew where it was. It was North Carolina, across the country. And I really felt like the Lord wanted me to do that. Well, I prayed, and to the point where I prayed it off, and I was like, that's not for me. And you ever prayed like that? You pray and pray and pray and decide. You talk so much that you don't let God talk, and You convinced that you got to go the opposite way. Well, I came here about two weeks later, and Brother Prescott preached the exact same message. And again, the Lord dealt with me to come over here, and I knew that I needed to go. I started talking and making preparations because that's what I knew I needed to do. Now, I don't know where I would be if I didn't obey the Lord. And I might still be there. I might even still be saved. I don't know. But I know the first time, when I obeyed the Lord, when I got saved, I knew where I'd be now if I wouldn't obey the Lord then. And I knew that if I didn't obey the Lord this time, that I could be in that same place again. Calling for the Lord because I didn't have no one else to call to. But I'm so glad that I chose to obey the Lord. He's blessed me. He's kept me. He's made me a happy Christian. And there's such a joy in being able to obey the Lord. There's such a joy in obeying the calling of the Lord upon your life. And I'm so glad that He's kept me. He's kept me in His hand. He's blessed me. He's walked with me. He's guided me. He's turned me to the right, turned me to the left, told me to go this way. And I'm probably not always obeyed as soon as I should have or just like I should have. But it's been good to serve the Lord. And if you're here tonight, and I don't really know if this is considered a Vesper service, is considered a youth service or not. But if you're a young person, if you're an old person, and you're wanting to know if you should obey the Lord and if it's going to be worth the cost, I'll tell you, it is worth the cost to trust in the Lord. My first day of obedience unto the Lord was greater joy than I've ever known. And it's been unspeakable joy when God saved my soul. And every single time I obey the Lord after that, it's just been better and better and better and better. And I can't imagine a life without serving the Lord. I can't imagine a life without obedience to such a great master, such a great Savior. And I want to continue to do that. The Lord's been good to me and I want to serve Him.
And if you ever see Anthony Munoz, be Nathan's former pastor, tell him Brother Nathan's doing good. Encourage him. Man, this time I'd like Dallas to come and testify for the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be here in youth service or Vesper service in convention. And when Dad was, he told me on the way to church this morning, he said, I couldn't figure out a young preacher to come and take care of the rest of this service after Brother Hardin was done. And he wanted to get some young preachers to preach. So I guess that implied he wanted me to. And Mom said on the way home today that she was telling my friend that was in the back with us. She said he wanted to get some preachers that he knew. I said, well, you know, he knows me pretty good. And so here I am. And when I was thinking today, in the past few days during convention, and when I saw Brother Gabe coming to church, I was kind of surprised because I'd heard he was struggling. And I was, you know, I would pray every now and then. I say, Lord, you know, you blessed our church for 3 weeks for the Livingston is in revival. And, you know, he's got this young person at home and that's drifting away, and just bless him. You know, I prayed that every now and then. And Brother Gabe walked in the church. I said, well, praise God. And I was thinking, you know, that revival is so great, and, you know, we could talk about it for a long time, about what God did in that revival. But that first night, those of you had to be there to experience it. And I'll tell you what, I thought we were about to have a breakout when Brother Dillard got his suit coat this afternoon. Because that's what happened on Monday night. He got the suit coat and started fanning people, and it just exploded. And it went till about 1 o'clock that night, and four people got the Holy Ghost that night. And at the end of that service, I'd been moved on to do some pretty weird things, and I'm not going to get into it. It's not super weird, but if the Lord's in it, I guess it's not weird. But I went and carried this boy around to church, and I was, you know, I was out of myself. The Holy Ghost was just all over me, and I could not control myself. And I began to think, you know, this is what the world wants. You know, we say there's a void in people's hearts for God, you know, and that's true. There's a God-given void. But there's also a God-given void. I found out there's a God-given void for the third person of the Godhead to be totally in you. And that, because that's what the world wants. When they go and they commit all these sexual immorality, they want the Holy Ghost because they want something to just control them, to capture them. When they take drugs and when they do alcohol and all these horrible things, they want the Holy Ghost. And because I know, I found out that night, there's just something in you that you want something you have to get apart from yourself. That's only I know how to explain it. And so the Holy Ghost will give you that. And we have young people in our churches, and we wonder why they're straying away. Well, why? How is the Holy Ghost moving in your church? How? Or when the Holy Ghost moves in your church, do you get in? Because you have to experience it for yourself. And I've had the Holy Ghost for quite a while, and I've not been perfect. But there's one thing I know is you just got to let the Holy Ghost use you. You have to let Him. You just have to open the doors. Let Him move. And, you know, there's just something else controlling you. It's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. You just have to experience it for yourself. And we wonder why young people run off. They need the Holy Ghost. It's not just enough to be saved, sanctified, and satisfied and sit on the church pew. You've got to be saved. You've got to be sanctified. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you've got to do what the Lord has called you to do. And I'm just so encouraged, you know, in this church. Another thing I learned from that revival is God answers prayer. And I had prayed, and Brother Bill I know had prayed, for the young people of this church, especially, to be revived or something to happen. And I'm a young person, and I feel very burdened for young people. I guess it's because I'm young. But whatever the thing is, I'd prayed for young people. And in that revival, I had seen those young people that I had prayed for and get in, get the Holy Ghost, be saved, get sanctified. And I, you know, God's just so good. And if there's anything I want to leave you with, I just want to, man, I didn't plan on saying all this. But if there's anything, just get the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost, I don't know how I'd be where I am today if I didn't have the Holy Ghost. I don't see how people can make it through their teenage years without the Holy Ghost. Just get in there. Seek the face of the Lord.